This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
When you do something out of love, you do it out of a cheerful heart. You want to do it. And God wants you to do for Him because you want to. God don't want you to do good works because you feel like you've been made to do it or pressured to do it. He wants you to do it because you want to. I mean, think about you. When somebody does something for you, doesn't it feel better when you find out that they did it because they wanted to? Well, it's the same way here with God.
Have you accepted your invitation to Grace Life Homecoming? Meet Creflo and Taffy Dollar at the World Dome, July 13th through 15th in College Park, Georgia. You know the lineup: Clarence McClendon, Gregory Dickow, Michael Smith, Mimi Haddad, and special musical guests Ty Tribbett, William Murphy, and just added to the lineup is J.J. Hairston. There's something for everyone. You don't want to miss this in-person only celebration. Register for free now, now, now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
This morning, I'm going to continue. We didn't quite finish last week. We started talking about the five conditions for works acceptable unto God. In other words, we're very familiar with people, you know, doing good works, okay? And good works are, you know, it's pretty cool. And the Bible says for us who have been created by God, we've been created His workmanship unto good works. But the question arose last week, what's motivating those good works? You know, the good works, which are an important part of God's purpose for every born-again believer, are acceptable to God only under certain conditions. And we find that even in the church, we do a lot of good works, but we're being motivated by the wrong things. We do good works aside from Jesus. We're doing good works to receive validation from people, to receive awards from people, for somebody to say, you know, you're a good person because you do the good works. But I don't want to do good works and they're not being accepted by God. I want my good works to be acceptable by God. I mean, if you're doing good works and you're doing them for the wrong reasons, eventually you're going to get frustrated and burdened even by the good works. That's what happened with Mary and Martha. You remember Martha, the Bible says, was encumbered or was burdened because of the good works that she was doing. Said Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, receiving from Him while Martha was working for Him, okay? And God wants us to sit to receive from Him and not just work from Him. And then He rebuked Martha, saying, you know, you got burdened down with a bunch of good works. Why? Because you had it out of priority. The priority is sit before Me and receive from Me before you try to do things for Me. And a lot of Christians, they work real hard to do things for God, but they hadn't received from God. And the problem with that, if you're not being moved by the right motives, even doing the good works will become burdensome, tired. You get a bad attitude. How come everybody else ain't doing nothing? Why am I the only one? Now you start complaining about, like Martha did, you know, make Mary come in here and help me. You follow what I'm saying? So I really want you to begin to examine why you do what you do. It's amazing how people really reach out to try to get validation. This is a season where people love, how can I be validated? The social media has helped with that. I mean, you take all kinds of pictures just to get validated, and then two people, you get in them comment sections, and they tell you how nasty you look. Now you upset. because you didn't get what you were after. Amen. And then all of a sudden you're trying to be like somebody else, and you exchange something that's authentically you for a cheap copy of you. Are you listening to me this morning? So we begin talking about what are the conditions for God to accept the good works. I mean, you can feed the poor and clothe the naked, but are you being motivated by the right motivation? Are the conditions right so that God will accept those works? So believers are, every believer should be in a position where he understands that. So a little quick review. Number one, last week we said that love must be the motive. That if your works are going to be acceptable, then love must be the motive. Are you being motivated by the love you have for God? Now remember, you love God because he first loved you, okay? You loving God is going to be all about you believing the love that he has for you. I guarantee you, if you don't believe the love that God has for you, you probably don't love God, okay? And so what happens, we got to understand that love must be the motive for all things done in response to grace. Love must be the motive for all things done in response to grace. So the response to this cannot be fulfillment of a duty. So you don't respond to God in good works just by fulfilling a duty, because no condition accompanies the offer of God's free gift except faith. No condition. So you going out and trying to fulfill a duty to try to, you know, get some points with God? Nah. It cannot be a return payment, because that would be the payment of debt, and grace is not putting anybody in debt. And it cannot be to gain the goodwill of God, because grace is absolutely unmerited. So you're not doing good works to gain the goodwill. Maybe if I come to church this morning, then God might open the door for me to get a raise this week. No, that's just not how that works. So everything done apart from love has no value in the sight of God. So anything you're doing apart from love, any good works that are done out of any other motivation besides the love of God, it's just futile. It's something that is not received or accepted. The second right motivation for acceptable works is that we've got to understand that fear is a false motive. You cannot allow yourself to be motivated by fear. Fear is a sinister influence, often offered as a motive for Christian conduct. The fear of God's vengeance on the day of judgment, the fear of being lost, the fear of being forever cast out by God unless certain standards of life, and these are man-made often. And there's something that we see all the time. I'm going to use fear to try. I'm going to try to motivate you to do right by some fear that I put in you. I'm going to try to motivate you to live holy by some motivation of fear. I'm going to try to even motivate you to participate in the choir or a department by saying, God don't like ugly, you know, those kind of things. This motive of fear is used to restrain persons from doing that which is wrong. And so you try to, you know, use fear to get people not to do wrong things. Or you even use fear to encourage good deeds. Sometimes you use fear to try to get somebody to do something good. Or maybe a preacher might use fear to try to get somebody to make a contribution to the church. It's not accepted by God. And that's the thing you got to understand. What I do, I want to do it, and I want it to be accepted by God. I don't want to do it because I'm doing it out of fear. I'm doing it because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. I'm doing it because I'm afraid I'm going to be cursed. I'm doing it because, you know, the preacher said, if you don't contribute to this, then God, that might be the very reason why you ain't getting no promotion. Don't do that. That's fear. And the Bible says that's compulsion and it's pressure. And don't allow that to happen in your life, because even though you do it, it's not accepted. It's not accepted. Fear is the dominant motivation in the world's religion, because these people really don't understand the love of God, and they don't understand the grace of God. They don't understand the grace of Jesus Christ. And most religions are dominated by the motivations of fear. You know, most religions are. You know, if you don't do this, you don't do that. You can't get that. That's not God. That's not how God operates. And I know you might have heard it all your life, but I'm telling you, that ain't how I operate. I tell you one thing: if you don't be nice to your husband, then he's gonna turn out to be the sorriest man in the world. Well, he was sorry when you met him. I mean, you don't have to use fear to. Okay, apologies, but you know what I'm saying. Don't buy that. Don't buy fear as your motivation to try to impress God. God's already impressed, okay? He is love. His nature is love, and his nature is goodness. All right, so here's the third thing we talked about, and then we'll begin this with the last two. So the third motivation to cause your good works to be acceptable by God, it must be a voluntary and joyful service. Whatever you do for God, it must be a voluntary and joyful service. Because the motive for service for God is love, that service must be voluntary. That which is done because of love is never done grudgingly. To do something grudgingly means I don't want to do it. When you do something out of love, you do it out of a cheerful heart. You want to do it. And God wants you to do for him because you want to. God don't want you to do good works because you feel like you're being made to do it or pressured to do it. He wants you to do it because you want to. I mean, think about you. When somebody does something for you, doesn't it feel better when you find out that they did it because they want it to? Well, it's the same way here with God. Shouldn't be done grudgingly and surely not because of any compulsion or pressure. That's not how you want to do that. It should never be thought of as duty performed, nor as responsibility that's fulfilled. And that's how we look at things. We look at it as, this is my duty, I gotta perform it, and this is my responsibility, and I gotta fulfill it. I used to really hate going to church as a kid. I asked my mom, I said, we get summertime off in school, when are we gonna get time off church? I didn't know him. Now I want to. Excited about getting here and worshiping God in a corporate anointing with seeing what else God is getting ready to do in our lives. And if he doesn't do exactly what I wanted him to do that day, that's all right. I'm gonna still love him anyway. I mean, whether he does anything or not, it's too late. I'm already in love with him. But we need to begin to understand that God doesn't want us to see it as a duty performed. He doesn't want us to see the good works that we do as a responsibility to be fulfilled. So if you're in a department, or you're going soul winning, or you're helping out in the children's ministry, it's not a duty to be performed. It is not a responsibility to be fulfilled. It is something that I'm doing because I am so in love with this Jesus who died for me before I was even formed into a fetus, someone who took my place on the cross. He took all of my sins on himself, and then he went to a burning hell that I'm so glad I ain't got to go to, and he did all that for me. Oh yeah, I can work in the children's ministry. Oh yeah, I can do whatever needs to be done because I'm doing it because he loved me first in that he died for me, and now I'm ready to do it from a cheerful heart. Some of y'all ain't used to this. You like it better. I don't want to hear that. I want the duty and the responsibility. Condemn me, shame me. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for not coming to the women's conference this past Friday. And see, that's why your marriage ain't no good right now, because you didn't come and listen to the word when it was being preached. And now, out of condemnation, you're like, yeah, you're right. My job is to wipe that out. It's religious fabling. that is destroying the lives of Christians, and it is dampening our joy. And when we show up in the midst of the world, we ought to show up with such a joy and such a happiness because of who we serve, and we hadn't figured that out yet. Because somebody promised you that once you get saved, you're going to have no more trouble. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, but for those of us who are born again, and they that live godly, they shall suffer persecution. So I ain't going to tell you, you ain't going to have no, oh, now that you're born again, you ain't going to have no more persecution. I'm going to say, boy, get your armor out. Why? Oh, hell, getting ready to break through now. Well, I thought we were supposed to be happy and joyous. Oh, yeah, you can be happy and joyous through the persecution. But you finna get ready to go through stuff because you got to have something to mature you. Life has a job, and it is to present opportunities to you to show you how to respond to it. It's not supposed to be peachy king unless you know how to respond to it. And it takes time to learn how to respond to it. It's easy to respond when something nice happens, but when all hell breaks loose, how do you respond to betrayal? How do you respond to somebody dogging you? How do you respond to somebody to murder? How do you respond to those things? God shows you how to respond, and when you learn how to respond, you learn how to defeat life. And instead of life happening to you, you happening to life, and you're knowing how to respond the right way. But you know what has stopped us? Religion? I asked the Lord one day, I'm like, wow, shame is big, man. Shame shows up and accuses you of something and then leaves the echo there to bother you the rest of the day. And I realized, where do I get shame from? And I was going to church and I was sitting down there and the preacher said something, and I got shame. I'm like, dang, you get shame from church? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know how the old folks do, shame on you. That's not what this is supposed to be about. That's why we've got to understand the motive, the right motive for doing the works of God. I don't want to just do something just to get somebody to validate what I'm doing. He's just a wonderful person. Because of what? Because of what he's doing? Thank God that he's doing. Good works are good and they're necessary. But make sure you locate the motor and the motive behind what you do and why you do it. Because everybody ain't coming to church for the right reason. Can I get a witness? Some people got a lot of reasons to come to church. Some people come to church because they're looking for the Mrs. Right or the Mr. Right. They act like they're praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. And when the right one walk by, they're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Ayah, thank ayah, eh. And you think it's the Holy Ghost. There ain't no Holy Ghost. They feel like they done found them. Nah. A lot of different reasons why. And I just, you know, since God healed me and took the tumors out of my body, and let me explain to you, because I won't try to be deep, because I want you to go home and say, oh, the Lord supernaturally took the tumors out of his body. No, I had a medical procedure to get the tumors out of my body. And it's okay for a faith person to have a medical procedure because Satan hates healing no matter how you get it. All I know is I'm standing here cancer free. That's all I know. I had my first test this past week that came back. And, okay, I'll finish. And it came back like doggone near perfect. I mean, like three little half points and it would have been perfect, which simply means that I'm total, it ain't there no more, it's gone. And listen, God did that because I wasn't trying to be deep and saying, well, I'm not going to go to any doctor. The Lord's going to touch me. And if God doesn't heal me himself, then bless God, I guess I have to die. Well, bye. That ain't how God told you to do it. If healing is available anywhere, through any procedure, through any medication, through any operation, you ought to reach out in the name of Jesus and grab hold of it and be healed. Praise God. If you only knew the number of dead people who went to heaven and say, God, why didn't you heal me? He said, I know you heard the story about the boats. See, a man got thrown out of his boat, and he was drowning. And one boat came by and said, you need some help? He says, no, I don't need no help. God's going to rescue me. He says, you sure? He says, I'm sure. Second boat came by. He said, hey, look like you need a little help there. He said, no, I don't need no help. God's going to rescue me. Then the third boat came by, and he had a hand up. He said, hey, you need some help? He said, God's going to rescue me. And then that boat left, and then he died. He went to heaven. He said, God, what happened? How come you didn't rescue me? He said, man, I sent three boats by. What else you wanted me to do? Well, that's what's going on in the life of a lot of Christians. He's sending all the stuff right by you, but you done got so dumb deep that you're ignoring what's necessary to receive the blessing that God wants to put on your life. Can I get an amen, somebody? Get healed. And we do that with a lot of stuff. I don't do well hanging around deep Christians. They scare me. Could you pray over the dinner? Yes. Whoa. I don't know what you were saying. I don't know what language it was. It might have been of the devil, but I'm not eating my chicken until somebody prays a simple prayer. Something like, God bless the cook no matter how she look. You understand? Just something simple. And I think that's what's happened to church and Christian people. We done got so deep that we off the pages of the Bible. God did give you common sense, and I found out that common sense is no longer as common as it used to be. You don't like me. Some of y'all getting ready to put that finger up right now. This ain't spiritual enough for me. Now, you better learn how to live. See, Sister Carol said this past week, a lot of us have life, but we don't know how to live. You got life today, but you're not living. Amen. And you know how to live. You need to quit trying to do stuff to impress people. Amen. And learn what you need to do to impress God. Amen. And I know y'all looking at me like, how can he say all that? Because I ain't in bondage to people. I don't care about nobody. I don't care what nobody say about me. I done spent 40 years people talking about me. I don't care. I'm good. It's all right. I'm like James Brown. I feel good. I'm good. And the reason why I don't care, because I ain't reading it. I'm not listening to it. I'm not putting myself before it, because I don't want the spirit of cuss to come back on me. I don't want to pull that switchblade. Y'all remember that switchblade hit that button? It cut your neck. I ain't doing none of that. I'm going to live a life that Jesus died so I can live, and I want to live it unto him. I want to live it giving him the glory, giving him the praise. I want to live it with him in my focus and not trying to get validation from people. The best deliverance you can ever have is deliverance from people. Okay, I don't know how we got in that, but that was for somebody. Use it if you can. Amen. Now, let's get in these last two points. And this is interesting. I want to show you, and this is what I'm looking at the church. We say we live by the Bible, but we ain't reading it. We listening to people preach, and they're not even in the book. So all I'm saying is if you believe the Bible, then I want to teach it and not the high thought of the day.
Have you been trying your hardest to live a godly life but find it to be a difficult daily grind? Creflo Dollar's five-message series, Keys to Godly Living, is just for you. The entire series can be yours today for a love gift of just $30 or more for CDs or $40 or more for DVDs. To get yours, visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore. Scan the QR code or call the number on your screen. Get results today.
The Mentality Men's Conference is back. On September 8th through 9th, we are breaking free from the world's definition of manhood and embracing the men God created us to be. Join men from all over the world for the 2023 Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss this free conference. Text MENTALITY to 51555, scan the QR code on your screen, or visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and register now.
Know that your contributions do not go unnoticed. Understand also that when you sow financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, you actually assist us in ministering to the physical and spiritual needs of millions around the world. You help us build schools, drip irrigation systems, and homes for pastors. You also help us provide supplies for children and the elderly. We thank you, and we continue to pray for you daily.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. Engage with Christ on a deeper level. Develop your walk with the Lord and strengthen your faith. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app.
You got to come to the end of yourself where you recognize, I need a Savior. I need an advocate. I need a peace offering.
With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. The app puts you right in the sanctuary with live streaming of services. You can receive practical advice for applying the Word of God to your life every day with our daily devotionals.
There's something about the mercies of God when others want to count you out and stone you and all kinds of things, or pointing fingers, but thank God for Jesus being right there.
Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.